This podcast is brought to you by On Track Studio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Taylor Lee podcast. Today, I'm joined by the one and only Riley May, my best friend. Everybody, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. Hello, everyone.
We actually cannot escape each other. For anyone that doesn't know, Riley and I actually live together. So we're just together 24/7, it feels like, at this point.
Yeah, we are. I mean, when I'm home, we're together and it's a whole thing, but it's good. We're productive.
Yes, exactly. We are literally just going to riff in today's episode. We're not really sure what's going to come out of our mouths, but we're just going to go with it and just see. And I can guarantee it's probably going to be a gold episode. Like, I just know our chats are fire.
Yeah. I just said to Taylor off air, I'm like, let's just riff, because whatever we plan won't even happen. And it's just best if we just see what wisdom comes out today.
Where the wind blows us.
Where the wind takes us.
All right. I'm going to do a weekly recap and we'll do the both of us, and then we'll get into the episode. So for me, I'm like trying to think back to when I last recorded. That was right before I went to the Gold Coast. So I went to the Gold Coast for a few nights with Isaac, which was so much fun. We literally just ate at all of these incredible restaurants, food, drinks, all of the things. It was so much fun. I also launched last week my day event, which is just like, oh my God, I'm so fucking excited. The launch was incredible. So it's going to be on the 28th of July. And it's a day event where there is going to be, I've got my dance teacher coming in and she's going to do like a dance and confidence workshop. I've got my photographer, Chloe. Her Instagram handle is Havana Productions. That's probably a bit more familiar for those of you who follow me on Instagram. She's coming in. We're going to do personal branding photo shoots. So everyone's going to get 10 professionally edited photos to integrate in their business, which is so exciting. And then also business workshopping with me. It's just like there's going to be so many different elements at this day event. I'm just so fucking excited. At the date of recording, there is still tickets available. We're still in the first release, so jump over to my Instagram if you want to check that out, if you want more information. But it's just like going to be so insane. I'm so fucking excited for that. But other than that, that's kind of been what's really like moving in my world. Like business, that's been my focus the past 2 weeks. But yeah, just like still cruising, living. Riley's back. She's been here, there and everywhere around the coast. But she's like back and actually being my roommate for the past week, which is fun before she leaves again.
Before I'm off.
But it's over to you.
I feel like just quickly, you've been in like a very big business grind right now, like coming back to that hustle in an integrated way.
I feel that. I'm like kind of got to a phase where I'm like, oh, my business can still like tackle on like as I'm going. Like I don't have to be working like fucking 12-hour days and all of the things. But then I was like, you know what, we can grind, but like in the most like healthy integrated way, like you said. And it's just been a vibe, and like this month, like it's just shown what integrating that has done, if that makes sense. I'm like, yeah, let's actually just put a bit of effort in. Not that I wasn't putting effort in, but like let's just crank it up a notch and see where that your business goes, which has been really cool.
It's like the energy of let's actually have a crack.
Yeah.
Like let's have a crack and see what happens, because it's even what we're kind of going to speak to today, but it is what's required of you at different stages in your business. And it's sort of like normalizing the fact that you do have to work hard.
Yeah.
And it can look a little bit like lent back or easy on Instagram, depending on who you're following. But there's actually a level that you need to apply yourself. You need to work hard. You need to be in that grind. And if it does mean that you're up on your laptop at night or up early and like creating content, then so be it for a while you're in that building phase.
So true. I think the other day I like went to leave somewhere and I like grabbed my laptop and then I walked back into the house. I was like, I actually don't need this. But it was like habit, because like you said, like your first few years of building a business, like you're like, I lived on my laptop.
Oh, she was my bestie. We took her everywhere. I was laughing about that because I'm like, fuck, that thing came with me everywhere. It was just like codependency with my laptop, where I'm like, but what if I need to create a link when I'm out for 5 minutes? It's like, babe, you're good. Like, go to Coles. You'll be all right when you get back.
Grocery shopping with your fucking laptop. Like
on that grind.
Emotional support water bottle, but like your fucking laptop while you're building
literally,
a business.
Literally. It's so true. But it's cool. And it's been cool for me to see even with you.
Yeah. And I feel like you've been the same though too. And it's just like, I feel like the conversations last year, I know for in the coaching industry, I feel like it was, you were almost made wrong if that you were like working like, you know, on your laptop at 8 p.m. at night, or like if you got like that grind was kind of made wrong because people did take it too far with hustle culture. But then now it's like, well, I am a CEO, and if I'm trying to build a business, like yeah, I'll get up at 3:30 in the morning so I can get my training session in so I can be home. Do you know what I mean?
It's just a little bit more intentionality and structure to what you're doing as well. I feel like everyone pendulum swung into the, oh, I get to just like have this business and have all this freedom of like time and finances and things like that. And it's like, yeah, you do. Maybe when you're 5 years in. And even then there's still going to be things that you need to apply and do. And it's like, I have so much freedom really now in my routine and in my workload and things that I do, but it doesn't mean that there's not shit to do. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that, yeah, you just remember that and you apply yourself to that and actually check in with where potentially you're a little bit too lent out and you actually could be in your business on almost like the front end, just a little bit more, and back end.
Totally. I almost remember a few clients plugged in with this, especially last year. It was like, oh, I can't build a coaching business because I don't like live the life that all these other coaches live. And it's like people thought that was the prerequisite, that like you could go to the beach at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. And it's like, no, you still need to grind and build a business because that's actually what required. And you're not going to be a supportive coach or like actually get it if you didn't even go through that phase yourself.
100%. 100%.
We're going on a tangent. I'm like, can you give your weekly, well, I feel like fortnightly, you've just had a fucking hectic month.
Oh
really.
My God. Where do I even begin? Like, where do I even begin? Well, for starters, my poor little potty has been on the back burn the last couple of weeks because I've just literally not even been here to record. But for those that don't know, my partner now lives overseas, hence why I'm living with Tay and doing the whole thing, which is awesome for me in that sense, but at the same time, hard for me in another sense. And the last sort of even 4 months, like the beginning, oh no, we're only 3 months into the year. 3 months. Feels like it's been 4 months. It's pretty much like I'm gone for a week, I'm home for 3 days, I'm gone for 4 days, I'm back for 10 days, I'm gone for 2 weeks. It's very much just like this in and out energy. In one part, it's been amazing and I'm loving it. And then in another part, I'm like, get me in my house for 3 consecutive weeks. And I don't think I worked it out. I have 3 consecutive weeks home until December.
What the fuck?
So I'm just sitting with that. I'm sitting with that. And I even said to Taylor this morning, I'm like, have I washed my sheets recently? I'm like, I don't know if I've washed my sheets recently. And she was like, yeah, but babe, you're not really home. Like, you're not really sleeping on them. I was like, okay, cool. This is true. Like, it probably has been 3 weeks. So that's been huge. I have recently have been on a retreat as a client. And then the week after I ran a retreat for my mastermind expansion mastermind. And it's just been a very, very pivotal month, I would say. I feel like there's a lot that I've been going through myself, just dissolving things, seeing things, like concept of self has been tested. And then, yeah, my own retreat was just a very pivotal point in my business. And I think coming back from that the last week, a lot has changed for me in, it's like a whole episode, so many ways. And it's just been cool because I feel like I'm almost back to my roots, but I know what needs to be done moving forward. And I guess I would describe it as kind of like a slingshot where it's like I'm being pulled back for a moment and coming back to what needs to be done in order to be like shot forward. And that's exactly how I see it in my mind. So right now I'm in this pulling back phase in a really integrated way. And I'm excited because there's just a lot happening behind the scenes. I'm hiring a full-time business manager and just different things like that. And it's very much the energy right now of meeting myself where I'm actually at. And there's been a little bit of catching up to do in that. So it's just been cool. And I'm going to New Zealand next Thursday to see T. And this has been our longest time apart in 8 years.
Fucking insane.
Insane. He's it makes like me laugh. Leg, I'm like, my left leg is overseas currently and I've been without her for 5 weeks.
We are getting her back.
We're getting her back. When I land in New Zealand, the left leg is back. So no, it's actually, I'm just taking up all the space, but been surprisingly okay. I think it's been just very interesting the last 5 weeks, but yeah, it's a good learning curve and I've learned a lot about myself and there's definitely a sense of me becoming a lot more independent and things like that as well. So I can't wait to see him and I'll be there for pretty much all of April when we do the math on it. And it's going to be cold. So that's the whole thing. But no, I'm just happy. I'm happy and I feel really content with where things are at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's going to be fucking freezing over there.
It's gonna be freezing.
Yeah. And then catch us in Europe.
I know. We go to Europe in
10 weeks.
So just quickly, so funny. Everyone knows the reels or the TikToks or whatever they are of that trend where it's like that one friend that organizes the whole trip and then the one that rocks up and they're like skipping in the airport. I'm the skipper.
She is the skipper.
I'm the skipper. I have organized, I'm going to say, one Airbnb in Croatia, and that's been my contribution.
Yeah.
She's to the entire 5-week trip.
She's doing well. Like, considering like the business she's built, it's surprising.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Like you said though, like if it's not your zone of genius, like,
well, this is
outsource.
Yeah. I'm only interested in, I don't know, I probably need to check this, but I'm only interested in really playing in the realm of my zone.
Mm.
And if it's not my zone, I'm not in it. So it's like, I was opting for the travel agent. 3-1, I didn't get that happening. And then I was like, look, I can't be a part of this because we're going to end up in the wrong country in the wrong year on the wrong day. And that's just not good for anyone.
Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Should have gone for the travel agent, but here we are. Here we are.
I said to Tay before, I'm like, look, I feel like I had some really good ideas and no one jumped on board. My idea was travel agent.
The other idea, we were on like a Zoom meeting the other day, planning our entire like home stint, whatever it was. It was an absolute shit show, mind you. We finally got it organized. Riley comes home 2 days later and goes, yeah, I was thinking we should have done this. I was like, Riley, that is a way better idea. Like, where the fuck were you? Like, honestly. Like,
I was getting my nails done on the Zoom meeting.
If that doesn't, like, wrap up what you've been contributing in this trip. But, like...
Like, the three girls are there just grinding and I'm at my nails, like, getting them done. I'm like, yeah, sounds good, guys.
But, like, hopefully the trip, like, works out. We'll see. Mm. Hopefully we're in the right countries. I'm just, like... too much of a control freak and like my thing, like we need to balance each other out a little bit more because like you're like, you know what, just do the thing, and I'm like, no, X, Y, and Z. Like if Ellie, my assistant's like listening to this, she'll laugh at me because she's like, yeah, like I'm like, Ellie, so do this, and then like
I'm the opposite. I'm like, Molly, this week Amplify launches, do with that information what you will, and then during the week I'm like, you're fire, like thank you for getting this happening. She's like, she has no direction. She has it's a 10-minute meeting of like this and this are happening. Whatever you need to do.
Yeah. And like, Ellie would actually be fucking great. But like, Taylor, just take a step back a little. But yeah. I've actually learned that from the Euro planning. So that's been cool.
Mm. Could be better if someone else potentially planned it.
Probably would have saved thousands
of dollars. Like, we're not going to pull figures because it's not even worth re-traumatizing ourselves. But it's interesting what the flight home alone has put us back. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I actually think Webjet, because I looked at it on my work computer the other day. I think Webjet just adds $100 every time you look at that flight because it knows you want to fly home.
Well, Taylor, I'm not going to actually, I'm going to use your full name. I'm not going to say I didn't tell you so.
Yeah.
Mm.
Something I have learned since being friends with you is Riley's actually always right. Like, like any of her clients as well laughing, like will probably laugh at this. I mean, because like, she's fucking right. And it's actually kind of frustrating. Like the amount of times that like business decisions or just like life decisions, I'll be like, I'll come to Riley, like fucking edge of a breakdown. Like, I don't know. And she'll be like, well, this and this. And then 2 months pass. I'm like, well, you're right.
Mm.
Should have listened to you with my ex-boyfriend, but anywho.
I can't say it in though. So. But everyone has their process and that's all that matters.
You actually, as a coach, I actually reckon that's a thing you have to do. Hey, like there's an element where it's like, of course I'm going to like guide you. Like, here's my thoughts.
Mm.
But you truly do have to go through your own process to learn your lesson. Like bring it back to the Europe example. You have to go through booking flights that are fucking quadruple the price that they should have been before you learn the lesson of getting.
Yeah. I mean, you could, or you could get the travel agent or you could have listened to Riley, but it's fine.
That's what I mean. No. Riley is always right.
I think honestly, I'm very simple and I think like my dad, I'm like, well, what makes the most sense? I'm going to opt for the travel agent. And then everyone swoops in with the complicated. And I'm like, look, I'm going to have to leave that to you because I can't be a part of that. Like, I'm like, what makes my life easiest? And that's what I always choose. And I think that's the right piece. It's like, wow, it feels right because that would have been easier.
I feel like that's just like what has led to your success in business.
Mm, potentially. I feel that I've just never, I think something I do well is I don't make things deeper than they need to be. Deeper being harder, deeper being more complicated, like whatever it may be. I'm like, well, what's going to get me there? And then what do I need to do? Okay, that's what I need to do. And then I do the thing instead of being like, but what about this? But what about that? But what about, it's like, well, no, what do you need to do?
Exactly. Exactly. And it's not from a space of like picking the easiest thing because it's not always the easy option.
No.
But like, it's from a space, like you said, what's like the simple, like let's reverse engineer it and let's just like do that thing. I was totally reflected that in the mastermind we're currently at. I was like, what's everyone like got to like what is like my superpower that I'm potentially not seeing? And that was one thing I was reflected where it's like, I didn't need a 10-step process to like create the business. Like, and it's so true. I remember being like frustrated when I first started mentorship. I'm like, why are our Zoom calls not like, okay, this week we're going to do this and this is our focus. Like I remember coming to you, I was like, I just, what the fuck? Like, why am I paying for this?
Give me the system. Give me the masculine. Yeah.
And then now I'm like, I got so much more done because I was just like, honestly, like first year of business, it's like throwing shit at a wall and seeing what sticks and just like,
yeah,
going for it.
Mm.
Like, oh, that didn't work. Let's adjust that. Like,
totally. I think what's really interesting is it's not picking the easiest option. It's picking the most uncomfortable. And my belief is the most uncomfortable is the easy option.
Mm.
It's like if we move through life picking comfortable, you're actually picking hard. That is like core belief of mine through and through and through. It's like the path with the least resistance is not the path with the least hurdles. And people get that so mixed. It's like we need to pick uncomfortable because uncomfortable is going to lead us down a path that's going to expand us. You stay comfortable, you stay small.
Mm.
And the way I see it is I pick uncomfortable because that is actually easier.
Mm.
It's like, what's my life going to look like in 40 years time if I pick comfortable? Not the life I want to be living.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just discerning that as well and trusting in that. And in turn, you build the business of your dreams and things like that as well, which is just interesting. And you learned that early, even with like the step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 structure. It's like, well, it's uncomfortable for me to sit in this mentorship and not have like this step-by-step process yet. Look what I'm actually building.
Mm-hmm.
Look who I'm becoming, and who I become is ultimately what I'm going to be able to do. And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly. Exactly. We were speaking about this on the drive to the podcast studio, but like, you have so many initiations as well as you're picking like the uncomfortable option too. It's like the universe like dangling a carrot. Like, are you sure you fucking want that? Like, I remember that like I had so many like other job opportunities, like so many things come up when I was starting my business. And it was like, I had no evidence to support the fact that the business was going to work, like nothing. And I was like, well, if I want to be, like you said, in 5 years time, someone that can travel Europe while still work, this is what I've got to fucking pick. And then you do, and it's like a year later, it's like, oh, thank fuck. And like, it's the commitment to continually choosing the uncomfortable option as well.
Mm-hmm. 100%. It's easily the biggest cock block for people is choosing comfortable. It's like, if you choose comfortable, you're actually choosing to live a life with a lot of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me, it's just a non-negotiable. I'm not doing that. Like I would say I'm a very stubborn person. And I don't know if anyone's noticed, I'm a little bit stubborn, ask my mum. And yeah, it's like, nah, I'm not doing it. And it is from a very stubborn, hard, direct place, but I'm not living a life I don't want to live. And that's really what I've always led with. I'm like, I want to love my job. I want to love my clients. I want to be so incredibly happy in my friendships, in my relationships, in the house that I live in the holidays I get to have, in the freedom that exists. Like, it's so much more than money or building a business. It's like, I'm building a life, you know, and I refuse to normalize the narrative. Life's just hard and things are just like this and you have to hate your work and stress is just something that exists, you know, in your life. Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like bullshit, that's what we're normalizing. And it's like, who are you surrounding yourself with that is normalizing problems that you don't actually want to normalize? I've hit a new level this in the last week or two and I feel quite passionate.
If you can't hear. No, it's so fucking true. And it's like,
yeah,
that like, life's shit, like this is sucks, like that's all relatable in conversations, like for the most part. Like for us, we're having this conversation, like we don't play into like the conversation. I don't come home from gym and I'm like, oh my god, Riley, did you see like the price of like fucking bread has gone up $2.50?
yeah,
like,
I'm not doing that.
We're not having those conversations because it's like choosing the conversations that you want to play into. Like if you're going out for dinner with friends and everyone's speaking about how much they hate their jobs and like, I'm never going to be able to afford a house and all the things, it's not making it wrong, but it's like, oh, like these are the conversations I'm choosing to entertain.
And what's that doing to my state, my conscious, my frequency? You're lowering your standards, you're lowering your literal vibration, not to go to energetics, but you actually are. And therefore you're not a magnet for what you want to attract. Not really. And it's like that's an example of choosing hard. Like you're choosing hard by being around people that may be your comfort but actually aren't expanding you. And a part of choosing discomfort is potentially leaning into conversations that do feel extra expansive, or you are around people that actually are expanding you. But it's so interesting, like, what we normalize. And the funny thing is, there can be truth to it, right? It's like, yeah, it can be true that the cost of living has gone up. It can be true that bread is $2 more than it was 3 weeks ago. That's great. That's true. Do I want to let that narrative dictate the way I lead my life? No, I don't. Right? No, I don't. And choosing to believe that is going to impact the way that I think, the way that I move, the way that I spend, the way that I lead myself. And it's interesting to use the analogy of the price of bread, but you think about that on a larger scale, like what's that actually doing to your state? What's that going to do to me when I show up and sell on my stories if I'm like, oh, fuck, but the cost of bread is more? Like actually thinking about the impact that this has. And we put limitations on ourselves, right? And if we let the conversations around us and other people's perspectives put those limitations on us as well, you are your own problem.
I just wanted a moment of silence after you said that. If anyone hasn't realized, Riley May has been integrating new levels of directness. I fucking love that though. Yeah. And it's so true. And again, another conversation we're having like this morning is like being in the mastermind. Riley and I are both in a mastermind at the moment where like big conversations are fucking normalized. And there's like two parts that I want to speak to in this. Firstly is like big conversations can sometimes be fucking triggering. Like it can actually be triggering when that you're in a room with someone and they're like, yeah, fuck, I did like a 50K week in business. It's like, fuck. Like that could actually be triggering, right? Again, this is like the uncomfortable thing. It can be uncomfortable, but the second thing to that is you normalize it. Like once upon a time, and this isn't me being out of touch with the world, but once upon a time, I'm like, wow, like 100K in a year, like that's an incredible salary, which it is. But now I'm in a room with people that are like fucking multimillionaires. And I'm like, oh my God, they're normalizing 100K months, 100K weeks. Like it becomes normal for you. And I think a lot of people like will have the projection that it's like, oh, they're just so out of touch. It's like how convenient that you get to like run that narrative that rich people or whatever are out of touch. So you can continue playing the victim to the people that were willing to choose the uncomfortable path in what they've built. And I think that's another cool thing to actually be in the rooms with those people is like you see the behind the scenes of what people are like with these big results are navigating through, what they're doing to get there. Like that's the thing for me. I think a lot of people could potentially project onto you, Riley, and be like, oh, well, she just does this and it was easy for her. But I'm like, I see the behind the scenes of what was actually what's actually been required of you to get there, and you've always chosen to do what's required of you to get there.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation because being around those conversations, naturally you calibrate to a new level, right? There's no way that you can't. You calibrate to a new level, your capacity to hold more expands naturally. And when you're not in it, or when you're not around it, or you're not actually in conversations that potentially trigger you and can be mirrors for you, you stay very comfortable, right? But you equally stay very small. And it's so easy to project on people. It is so, so easy. And we all do it.
So human.
Yeah, so human in every moment of every day. But projecting the things that you don't allow yourself to be or express or want or desire on someone else that's doing it, you need to check that. Like you need to check that, because what's that person actually mirroring to you? You know, if you don't believe someone can speak about earning money, well, what's in that for you? Like, why do you not allow yourself to speak about money? What's the conditioning? What's the stories? Like, what has contributed to you having that limitation on yourself? And we don't look at that enough, and we fall essentially victim to these things, and we move into the blame game of it's everyone else's fault, and it's because she triggered me, and it's because she's done this, when it's like, well, no. I left school, I started working for myself, and I worked really, really fucking hard for a long time. And it's been 5 years. And it's like, you can land in this now, and I'm only speaking to my own experience, but every single person who's doing something that potentially expands you, or you're like, oh my goodness, I don't know how they did that, it didn't come easy. Right? It didn't come easy. It's like, there's so much that I know you've had to do, I've had to do to be in this position now. And truthfully, I'm not done, because this is not my end result. I don't feel like I'm done. I'm not at the end. It's like the people that I'm looking at, I'm like, what are they doing? How are they moving? What decisions do they make? How do they invest in themselves? Because put your money where your mouth is, right? And money is just one tangible thing that we can speak to, but put your time where your mouth is, put your energy where your mouth is. It's like, if you want something, does the way that you invest your time, your energy and your money reflect that? Because if not, stop complaining.
Yeah.
Like literally stop complaining. I'm sorry, you can't actually go out clubbing every single weekend and expect to be a multimillionaire.
Yeah. Or like, oh, I just don't have enough time, or I can't make extra money on the side, whatever. It's like, there are so many other ways, not even in the coaching industry, to make money nowadays. And it's like, well, you're scrolling on TikTok for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like, you're scrolling on Instagram. You can literally, like, I know there's like surveys, like there's all of these things like to get additional money into your life, but it's easier play victim to, well, it's just so hard and my boss should be paying me more and like all of these things.
It comes back to the power of choice. Like the way that I see this is, as humans, one of the biggest disservices we do is we outsource the power that we have, which is the power of choice, right? We pretend that, oh, well, that's just what had to happen, or that's just what I had to do. Like, no, because you have the power of choice in every single moment, right? It's like, there's been so many things that I've chosen to either do or not do, friendships I've chosen to either stay in or not stay in, or whatever it may be. I chose that. You always have the power of choice. And then if we move into the, oh, but my mum might think this, or my partner might think this, or my friend might think this, well, you're blaming things external of yourself, aren't you? So it's like, take back your power being choice and see where that takes you if you actually follow what you really want to do, because that's the difference. Not what people want you to do. What do you want to do? And how can you start to actually trust that, lead with that, arguably watch the magic unfold.
So true. So true. And something else that like really landed for me when you're speaking to the projections piece before, where that it's like, if we speak to the income conversation, like why does people speaking about money make you feel uncomfortable? So you don't do it, but it's like, you don't do it potentially because of other people's projections. It's like, once you can actually land in the awareness of like human behavior and the human psyche of like how we project when we're triggered and like all of the things, you don't allow those people's projections to affect you as well. Like, of course there's going to be a certain degree where it's like, fuck, oh
yeah,
like at times, but like you can actually see it for what it is, where it's like, oh, I'm just being a mirror for that person in that moment, which gets
totally
cool, where you can actually stay neutral. If you're being activated by that person, by you being a mirror for that person, they're being triggered, there's still something to look at for you.
You're afraid of your own judgment. That's literally projections, right? You'll only fear a projection if you're projecting that same thing on somebody else. So it's like, we are afraid of our own judgment. If you're judging someone for talking about their income, you would be afraid of someone actually projecting on you if you were to speak about your income, right? We're always afraid of ourselves, essentially. So when we look at these parts and we dissolve these parts and we take responsibility for where potentially we're actually projecting that same thing on someone else, we no longer fear it. And it's really interesting what you allow yourself to do once you dissolve these things and you allow yourself to be these things. And a conversation I guess I'm having a lot right now with mastermind girls, private clients, and even with my mentor in my own life is that directness piece, where even right now, like, yeah, I am being direct, but I'm also done watering myself down and being palatable to fit the mold of what someone wants to hear, so it can feel like really consumable for them, where it's like, I trust that every single person on the other end of this podcast is an emotionally intelligent human who can access discernment and actually process what's being mirrored back to them. Like, I trust that.
Yeah.
And we actually know that that's the humans listening to this podcast. So knowing that, it's like, don't fall victim. Be like, I'm actually an empowered fucking human being who can process this right now. Like, you have the EI to do that. You have the ability to do that. It's trusting that you can, and knowing that responsibility and actually choosing different will change your entire fucking life.
Yeah.
Your entire life.
Yeah.
And that's my story.
And we'll wrap up the episode right there.
And done. But it's huge.
Yeah, I fucking love that. And the conversation around directness as well. I think a huge thing for me with like the watering down thing, it almost ties back into the conversation of projections, where it's like thinking that people won't be able to have the most generous assumption of you as well. And I think a huge thing too is like the piece around like the evidence that we have to grab onto, where it's like, if we speak to the example of projections around speaking to money, it's like, well, I actually have evidence to support the fact that people do project onto me when I speak about money, where it's like, you actually have like the power of choice as well to, like, you don't have to choose to grab onto that evidence, because again, we're going to look at the evidence that supports, like, our concept of self, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where there's probably a bunch of evidence that people aren't going to project and, like, people actually support it, but it's like, oh, I'll grab onto the evidence there because that supports the current narrative that I have.
Mm.
And then the next thing as well is, like, not having the most generous assumption of your audience, that it's like, oh, well, they're going to project and they're going to say this and they're going to say that, where it's like, you don't actually know that to be true.
Mm. Yeah. And it's like, if you see your audience as disempowered humans that can't access discernment, how's that going to leak out in your marketing and in your sales and the way that you're positioning courses and content and things like that as well? Because I want to work with humans that do have high levels of emotional intelligence, women that are ready to actually, you know, have things mirrored back to them and process that and have their own process. And if I'm not giving them the opportunity to experience that, I'm doing my clients a disservice, who I actually would work with a disservice, and the containers that I run a disservice, because that's who I'm looking to attract. So it's like, we can water ourselves down so much in fear that our parents will project, or our siblings will project, or people we know will project, or like old mate from school that I went, you know, with like 6 years ago will say something like perfect.
Mm.
Perfect, because I'm in my own lane and I trust that that person can project and actually potentially reflect on where they don't allow themselves to be that thing, right? Giving people their power back. It's like, we're taking their power away by watering ourselves down because we're not giving them a generous interpretation, nor are they giving us that, but it's not up to us to create content and just position things in a way within our brands that makes it palatable for everyone. Because if you're speaking to everyone, you're speaking to no one. Core belief.
Exactly. And like the whole like palatable piece, it's like, I see that as like you being out of integrity. And it's like, if I'm getting on my social media and I want to present myself as professional and so intelligent and all of the things, so I'm only posting the talking videos that took me 17 attempts because that was the one where I actually like sounded professional. Then someone invests in me and they're in a container, a group container with me.
Mm.
And I say, fuck every 3 minutes. It's just,
there's an incongruence there.
Yeah. It's just like, well, how's that supposed to feel for people that are investing in you and buying into your world? If it's like, you're presenting yourself as one thing, mm-hmm. so that you're palatable. And then like, once it's behind closed doors, you're something else. Like
mm-hmm.
that also doesn't feel clean either. So that was a huge thing I had to see, like, especially at the start of business, where it's like, we're taught business people have to be professional and X, Y, and Z, like name your thing. But it's like, mm-hmm. how can I actually just come back into being the human that I am? Presenting like my core beliefs and also allowing yourself to contradict yourself too.
Mm.
If that's what was true for you at that time, it doesn't mean that that has to be your belief until like
the end of time.
Literally. Like I see myself as like people that contradict themselves. I'm like, cool, you're evolving.
Mm.
Like you're actually evolving. And I really love watching how that like your beliefs have changed and that's like shifted. And like, this is where you are now.
Mm-hmm. It's massive. You're essentially curating, and we even spoke to this a lot in call one of Amplify. And it's massive because we often think about, okay, who do I have to be in order to be perceived as successful or intelligent or, yeah, like essentially professional and successful, I think are big words that come to mind. And you create this little version of yourself where you're like, I've got to wear trousers and I've got to like look X way on my stories and I have to do all of these things. Then all of a sudden, girl, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not me. And there is a huge disconnect with how I show up online, what happens inside paid containers. In turn, client retention isn't there. You'll struggle in business to actually grow and evolve and scale. Like, ultimately, mm-hmm. you can't scale a business if you don't have the client retention. And if there is a disconnect with who you are on the scenes versus who you are behind the scenes, business is going to be pretty difficult.
Fucking spot on. And like that just like is such a felt thing as well. Like I'm not sure if anyone listening has experienced this before, but it's like you fucking feel it when people like aren't congruent or they're not in integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a huge conversation in like the coaching industry in particular. It's like this whole like, has the integrity conversation been taken too far? I wish I just like had a photo of Riley's face. She just cringed as I said that. But it's like, why are we making it wrong to be like what I see as like the best possible fucking version? And like
don't get me started, babe. Don't get me started, because integrity can never be taken too far. My coach can never be too integrous. My mentors can never be too in integrity. Like, what does that actually even mean? It's like, I want the people in my life, clients, coaches, mentors, whatever, to be in integrity. Like, are you your word? Are you who you say you are? Do you look after yourself? Do you brush your teeth at night? Do you get ready for your workday in the mornings? Do you go for a walk? Do you look after your health? Are you sleeping 8 hours? That can never be taken too far. Like, I need, and it's a prereq that my mentors expand me in all aspects of my life. I'm not going to my mentor to teach me business when they're not getting enough sleep or they scroll on TikTok for 5 hours. Like, that actually isn't what I desire from a mentor. So I don't believe it can be taken too far ever. And I don't actually even understand that concept, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And this is going to be like a gross exaggeration of it, but like, I was having this conversation the other day and it's like, well, for me, it actually doesn't feel clean for me to be a business mentor that's like charging thousands of dollars to work with me, to be plugged into my frequency, my brain, my mindset, and to be someone that's out on the weekends doing cocaine, someone that's like struggling so much with my life, my mindset. Like, that actually just doesn't make sense to me.
No, and if you are, like, don't get me wrong, I absolutely have gone through phases over the last 4 years in business where I would have been going out more on weekends, or I've had stints where I haven't been looking after my health the way I wanted to look after my health, or like, name your thing. Yeah. My sleep wasn't good. I wasn't drinking enough water. Like, I've been there.
Yeah, you're a human as
totally,
well.
Totally. I'm a human. I've been there. But do I back that? Absolutely not. Like, I'm actually speaking from my own experience where I don't believe you get to have it all, and I don't believe you can be it all, where it's like, if I'm charging, and especially where I'm at now in say the last year, it would have been the last year. It's like huge wake up call. I'm like, you need to clean your stuff up, and it can be high level problems, right? Like, we're not talking about your whole life needs an overhaul, but it's like, how are you communicating behind the scenes? Like, how, what are you eating? How's your gut health? Like, is your brain functioning properly? How do you feel when you go to sleep at night? What are your routines looking like? It is refinement at every level. And of course, there's been stages where I feel I've lacked integrity. Absolutely. I'm the first to admit that, but that's why I'm so passionate about it, because I believe it is so, so important, and you can never be too in integrity. It's just core belief. Like, you have to be. And like you said, if someone's paying me thousands of dollars to be in a course, or hundreds to be in a masterclass, or be in my world, or even consume my content, that's coming from a place of integrity.
Yeah.
And I'm checking myself if it's not.
Totally. And you truly just like know with some people too. Like, for me, like, I can just, before I even started working with like Felicity, for example, in the mastermind, like, I just knew that it's like, well, you don't entertain shit. You eat well. Like, just things like that where it's like, you just know it and you don't even need to see it. Like, it's really interesting watching some people where they really overexpress it on Instagram and things like that, where it's like, why are you trying to like prove to me that you're this person? Like, when that we overexpress things, it's like, you know, counteracting something. Yeah. It's like, okay, what are we like hiding here then? Like, are we posting like our salmon poke bowl, and then you're like eating all this shit behind the scenes? And like, it's not to make it wrong. Like, of course I'm like, I fucking love me some chocolate. It's not making it wrong, but it's like, why are you trying to present it where it's like, just fucking be it. Just be your word.
100%. And you would know this, and I'm just going to speak to my own perspective. Like, every morning I have my subs. Every night I have my things. During the day, I eat very, very well. You hardly ever see that on Instagram. Like, I have never gotten up, I don't think, and posted what I have in the mornings.
Yeah.
Right? But because of my energy, the way I look potentially, different things like that, you just know that person looks after themselves, right? It's the energy of showing and not telling. Like, I don't need to tell people that I brush my teeth. You can just tell that my like teeth are clean.
Yeah.
Or I don't need to tell people that I get up every morning and get ready for my day. You can just see that I'm ready for my day. So it's little things like this where it's like, be it, like, literally be the thing that you do behind the scenes, and be the integrity. And it's huge. And it's just like it's just a little bit of a check. And it's like, oh, where potentially am I right now? Like telling and not actually being. It's like, be it, you know, And that's so important.
Yeah.
So important.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like a cool reflection for you was like you running your retreat, and like, this is the second retreat that you have run, but just like the reflections from the girls about like the human that you are and actually meeting you in person. It's like, if anything, it's like, fuck, you're more incredible in person. Not this space of like, oh, like Riley sleeps until fucking 10 a.m. and then she ordered Uber Eats for breakfast. Like, that would just be, you know, like, it's like that level where it's like, holy shit, Riley's up. She's up at fucking, like, Riley gets up so early. Like, she's journaling. She's having her green. She's having her supplements. Like, she's doing all of the things. It's like, ah. And that's, again, why, like you said, with client retention, why people just stay in your world, because it's you're just being your word.
Mm. Yeah, and how icky is it showing up on the scenes when you're not being your word and then you pull the old imposter card, I feel like a fraud? Yeah, babe. Like, of course you're going to feel like a fraud when you're not being your word. Like, there's truth in imposter syndrome, and I'm sorry. It's like, I felt like an imposter in my life before. Guess what? I wasn't embodied in the teaching. Like, there's truth to it. I don't buy that conversation, nor do I think it should be normalized, because there's just truth in it. And it's not something to shame yourself for ever, ever, ever. It's an internal compass. I've written a post on this before. Mm-hmm. It's like, imposter syndrome is an internal compass for where you're out of integrity. Mm-hmm. Core belief. It's like, just check that. Whenever I have felt like an imposter, there has always been truth to it. And that's why I believe it to be so true. It's like, I see it with clients. I've seen it with myself. And this is a cool thing. Like, everything that we've spoken to today, I'm talking from my own experience. Yeah. Like, this is a me thing. Projections, imposter syndrome, all of the things. Like, trust me.
Yeah.
I've been the leaky cooked one. Yeah. Like, you're good. But it's really just checking it and seeing it, because I don't buy the imposter syndrome thing. Mm. Like, I don't buy it. I understand it, but you need to understand why that's actually happening, not pretending it's something else. And it's not. You're just not embodied in what you're doing and what you're saying and who you're being.
And sometimes, like, the truth to the imposter syndrome, for example, when I first started my business, I was like, imposter syndrome. Yeah, because you've never ran a business like this before.
Yeah, and you've probably never done masterclass.
That's why it gets to be true. But, like, you don't need to lean on the thing of like, oh, well, I've got imposter syndrome, so I can't run the masterclass. It's like, no, I actually just don't have any evidence to support the fact that I can run a masterclass. But, like, it's checking with those levels where it's like, of course I'm going to feel like an imposter, because I've never done it before.
Imposter or nervous too.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like, do you feel like an imposter, or are you like, oh my God, this is new?
Yeah, you that's know? Exactly it.
Because there's such a difference in that. It's like, of course, like, you think about ego, concept of self. If that's getting threatened or challenged, you're going to have a response, right? Reactivity wise. So it's like that's what that is. It's like, you don't even need to check for imposter syndrome. You're like, oh, I've never ran a course before. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's actually cool. Versus like, oh my God, I posted this photo and someone challenged my belief and now I'm an imposter. It's like, well,
did you actually believe that thing?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so freaking true. Okay. Well, I feel like we have just like put our finger in about 10 pies today in terms of conversations. So I feel like we might wrap it up there, but I'm just like, fuck, that was good. And I'm so glad we didn't have a thing we wanted to talk about, because that just like,
it pulls you out of your roof, babe.
It truly does. It truly does. I think someone was actually saying this to me about like, how do I structure like masterclasses, all of the things, like, especially when it comes to masterclasses, this almost like ties into like the being embodied. It's like, have your structure, like, yes, of like, I want to speak to these things, but just actually like allow yourself to like have a transmission, because when you're actually embodied in things, like the stuff that comes out, like exactly how we've been like this morning, it's like, cool, we'll speak about business and just what we've navigated, whatever. But then the shit that comes out, it's like, cool.
There's a lot of conversations in today's episode.
So many conversations.
That's been cool.
So many conversations. Well, thank you so much for coming out and joining me.
Thanks for having me in all my directness.
It's been a fucking vibe. I've loved it so, so much. Thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode. I will catch you all in the next episode. But if you want to reshare this episode, if you liked it, any like key takeaways, I love seeing your takeaways, feedback, you sharing on an Instagram. It's just a whole vibe. Make sure you tag me, and Riley's handle is Riley May Coaching. So be sure to tag her as well. But thank you for tuning in.
Bye.